Good morning. I love that video. I think it just so clearly expresses what the heart of literacy missions is, and in particular, English as a second language ministries. But as I think about this, God's plan for sharing, every believer sharing and every lost person in North America hearing, I think, what does that look like? And how does literacy missions fit with that? Actually, I think the better question is, how do we engage cultures and language groups that are so very different from our own? And I think literacy missions models that. You find a need, as she talked about, you fill it, you serve, and you share Christ as you go. Whether that's teaching English to internationals in your community, maybe it's working with kids and teenagers that are struggling with reading or they're struggling with their schoolwork, and so you tutor them. Maybe it's working with an illiterate adult or a low-level reader, and you teach them how to read and write. Whatever it is, you're serving, and you're sharing the gospel, and you're sowing those seeds. And that really is the heart of what literacy missions is. I think when people know that you care, because you're demonstrating that week in, week out, by teaching them, by praying with them, by praying for them, by listening to them, then you're establishing and you're building trust with them. And like I said, you're sowing the seeds of the gospel, and their hearts open up to it. I was after a few months of ministering to one of my Hmong students that she just amazed me one night and opened up her heart and shared with me this deep loneliness that she had. She'd been in the country for 7 years. You would thought after 7 years, surely she would have made friends and established herself in the community. And yet she was so lonely. And I did the only thing that I knew to do at that moment. I prayed with her. And then we continued to teach her English. And we continued to pray with her and for her. And we continued to share verses of scripture with her each week. And then we started to see a change in her. It started with just, she'd start to comment on the verses of scripture that we would share with her, how much she liked those verses. And then she would talk to some of the other students in the class about how much she liked those verses. And then one night she shared with me that she had started attending a Christian church in her area. And we really started to see God at work in her heart and in her life. I've had other students that have shared with me burdens that they've had about, you know, fears of a husband losing a job, financial worries. Another woman shared marital problems that she was having. We've talked with students about raising teenagers and the frustrations with that. I'm sure none of the teenagers in the room are any trouble for their parents, but, you know, others are. And I don't think they share these things with us because we're marriage experts or experts in parenting. I think they share with us because they know that we care, because we've demonstrated that. They know that we believe in Jesus Christ. They know that we're going to take these needs to Him. And they have seen that we believe in the power of prayer and that God answers. And so they bring these things to us. And it gives us yet another opportunity to share the gospel of Christ with them. And it's a blessing. It's a huge blessing, like this woman talked about. She's blessed and amazed that God would use her. But I get a double blessing because I get to equip others to be involved with literacy missions ministries. And I get to see the joy that they have when they come and they're so excited because they found it. They have found where God wants them, and they're obedient to Him and they're serving Him. And they have these awesome experiences where they get to sow the gospel and see their students respond to that. So that's an awesome thing. Jose Valderas is a great example of that. Jose is part of a church plant in Sauk City, Wisconsin. And he is a second-generation Hispanic citizen in our country. And he attended an ESL workshop in Fort Atkinson recently. And I'm looking around if anyone here is from Friendship Baptist. Yes, thank you for hosting that workshop. Because you were willing to host that, there is now an ESL ministry established in Sauk City. There are over 24 students that are coming to that every week. Some of them are part of that church plant. Many of them are not. And so the obvious result here is that the gospel is being shared with non-believers because they have a common ground to come to, and they're being taught English, and they're hearing the gospel as well. You know, but there's something more going on than that. I mean, I think it's obvious. If we're teaching English and we're sharing Christ, then non-believers are going to hear the gospel. I think that before I get into the other benefit in this, there's something that happened in Sauk City that I think we can learn a lot from. I think it's a model that we can learn from. This is probably the case throughout the convention. I'm sure David will correct me if I'm wrong on this one. But in the Central Association in Wisconsin, we have about 10 church plants that we're praying over right now in various stages of development. Half of those are ethnic works, seeking to reach language groups that speak a language, a native language other than English. And we look at that, and if you're like I am, Anglo, speak only English, you think, what can I do? Well, certainly I can pray, and we should be. But there are tangible things that we can do to be engaging and edifying these works. We can partner with them through ESL Ministries. And that's what Jose, in a sense, has done within his own church plant. He is helping to edify that work. So the students have a place to meet, to learn, to hear about Christ together, believers and non-believers alike. So students that might not set foot in a church will come and learn English. And like I said, they're going to hear the gospel while they're there. The other benefit, though, is edifying the body of Christ. One of my students, Claudia, she was one of my students for about 2 years. And I remember the first time Claudia came to class. She was a brand new believer. She's also a single mom. And lest you think that life becomes perfect when you become a believer, I'm pretty sure no one in here thinks that. Her life isn't always easy. It's very hard. And sometimes she would come in just so discouraged and so weary. And whatever verse of scripture it was that God had laid on my heart to share that week, it seemed that that was just the one that she needed to hear. That was God. That was all God at work. And she would tell me about that. Oh, this is such an encouragement to me. And it meant so much to her. And you know what? We need to be doing that for our brothers and sisters in Christ. That gave me as much joy as sharing the gospel with a non-believer. Because when we encourage and strengthen our brothers and sisters, we equip them to go and then share the gospel with others. And yes, I've seen her do that in class. And that's exciting to be a part of that and to watch that. But I remember one night she shared with me a huge victory that she had had. Like I said, she's a single mom. She has a teenage daughter. And every now and again, her daughter would bring home notes from school. Now, initially, Claudia did not understand enough English to know what the note said. And when she'd ask her daughter, she'd say, oh, it's nothing. You just need to sign it. Mm-hmm. Well, wouldn't you? So in any case, the night came when her daughter brought a note home from school. She said, oh, just sign it. No, wait. And she took her time and she read through that note and she understood it. And then she scolded her daughter because it wasn't very positive. And her daughter said back to her, ever since you started attending those English classes, you don't just sign my papers anymore. That's right. Well, what you may not know is that the dropout rate for Hispanic students, I don't know about the rest of our two states, but in Madison, it's one of the highest dropout rates among ethnic groups in that area. And so when a parent demonstrates the value of education by learning themselves and doing what they need to do to help their children succeed, what a difference that can make. Now, there are a lot of other things that we can do for struggling kids. The woman in the video mentioned one of them. We can tutor kids of any nationality. Kids born and raised here who are behind in reading. They can't read. We have plenty of them. Look at the school district in Milwaukee, prime example. But even in our small towns with great, you know, school systems, we still have kids falling between the cracks. We can work with illiterate adults who can't read or write. About 70% of the prison inmates in our two states are functionally illiterate. We have plenty of people to work with. There's no shortage. We need to look to the fields. See a need, fill it, serve, and share Christ as we go. One other thing I just want to share with you. In the last week, Gene Wiedekind, our WMU director, for Minnesota, Wisconsin, sent out to the missions advocates and pastors in our two states a survey. It's a literacy mission survey. If you are one of the folks who received that and have returned it, thank you. Because one of the things I'm hearing, we want tutoring workshops. We want to be equipped to tutor kids in our areas. If you've received one and you haven't turned it back in, it's something you can do very simply online. It takes maybe 2 minutes. Please do that, because that's going to help us, Tara Calvert and myself, to better meet your needs so that you can better engage those people in your communities and share the gospel with them. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, but you want to know what I'm talking about, then I encourage you to come on down to the display area when you have some free time and talk to me about that. And I hope to see some of you down there. Thank you.